This is Bridget Croyle. I am recording at the Unitarian Church North on April 17th, 2022 at 10 a.m. their Easter service on behalf of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee 715 public history class.
Wednesday is a class on Buddhism as part of the Religions of India service, a series, and it starts, goes from 7 to 9 p.m. And you don't have to have gone to the previous sessions to attend, but if you'd like to attend, it helps if you tell me first so we can make sure we have the right number of materials. And finally, next Sunday will be our third and last Pathways to Membership class, and that will be at 11:30. And again, you're welcome to come even if you haven't been to the first two. But it gives you kind of a sense of what Unitarian Universalism is about and this particular branch of it is about. Thanks.
Our president-elect, Julie Zumach.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Julie.
Well, it's hard to believe, but just 3 short weeks from today, that's May 1st, our largest fundraiser of the year, the UCN auction, will be live on Bidding Out. We have lots of generous and creative donations, which you can check out once you register on the site. There are landscaping, painting, and building services, fun dinners, themed baskets, and much more. This year's fund in need is to light up our world with a new electronic sign. Your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by an anonymous donor up to $5,000. What a generous offering. More info on the sign and levels will be available in the order of service next Sunday. As always, thank you for your interest in and support of all things UCM.
And then Amanda Seligsman is going to make an important introduction.
Good morning, friends. I'm coming to you this morning in my capacity as UCM historian to welcome a special guest to our congregation this morning. We have Bridget Royal, who is a master's student in architecture at UWM, who's taking a class in in digital and public history. And she, as part of that, she is contributing to a project called Gathering Places, which studies religious institutions in the Milwaukee area, and she was chosen to study our congregation. She's been working in the archives downstairs and will be interviewing a couple of members and is joining us today to get the flavor of a UU service. And also, you may notice with the headphones, she's doing some recording. So please, which you will turn off for joys and sorrows to preserve your privacy. So please, when you see Bridget, do welcome her. Thank you.
Welcome.
Once again, good morning. I am Pete Blaine, and I'm very pleased to be your worship assistant at this morning's hybrid service. This morning, we are honored to have UCM's part-time minister, Reverend Tony Larson. Tony will discuss how UUs from atheists to liberation-inspired Christians, and even those with beliefs in between, find a comfortable home in Unitarian Universalism. Thanks goes to our Zoom host, Julie Cabanis. Thanks also goes to our companionist, Brittany Freeman Farr, and to our cantor, Callie Thoreau. UCN is blessed with many quiet heroes. For many years, Mike Strauss led UCN's effort to feed folks in need at Milwaukee's Guest House. Carrying on Mike's tradition, Cindy and Pat Kotecki currently manage UCN's participation in Family Promise, helping to feed needy families in Ozaukee County. They deserve our admiration and great thanks. Cindy and Pat, thank you very much. In the unlikely event of an emergency, such as a fire, please note that there is an exit immediately behind me. You can exit through the barn doors immediately behind you or through the doors you entered in the lobby. Welcome. We are very glad you've joined us this morning. UCN provides the light of religious freedom and the warmth of a caring community. We're dedicated to creating and maintaining a diverse and inclusive community. We promote free religious expression, inspire spiritual and ethical growth in each other, and work for social justice in our community, our nation, and the world. Whether this is the first time with us or your 100th time, welcome. Whatever your background or traditions, welcome. Whatever you believe or don't believe, welcome. No matter who you love, welcome. We're very pleased you've joined us. Now we invite those who are here to take a moment to greet each other, and for those at home to say hello via the chat box. When you hear the hymn, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In, please wrap up your conversations and join us in singing. Once again, welcome.
Good luck with your project.
Thank you.
Glad that you're here.
I'm being nosy, you know.
I feel like we're so special that we get to see you
study and all that.
It's an interesting project.
Yeah, and I'm excited. Our church is like the closing barn theme, so I figure that's probably part of it.
I did it in the architecture. Enjoy
your last name.
I love to see your last name.
When I'm in here, I frequently just look up because I just love the view.
Very good.
Our beacon, our light,
name tag in my garage.
Our cupola, yes, which I symbolize as.
So are you from this area?
Yeah,
I live in Chicago.
Religious
Forth new leaves to sing, enjoy the meaning of the sky.
adults who feel young inside to come up and join me for a message for all ages.
That's nice.
Eggs, sure. Pardon? Chocolate, sure.
Spring.
Spring, it's springtime, sure.
Family.
All right. Food. And who is the person that we usually think about on Easter, at least in the Christian tradition? Who would be that person? Yeah, Jesus. Now we pronounce his name Jesus, but it was said differently in his own time. Anyone want to take a guess? I'll give you a choice. It's one of these three. It's either Jehonatan, Yeshua, or Jamelia. Jehonatan, Yeshua, or Jamelia. Which one do you think would have been Jesus?
Yeshua.
Yeshua is correct. That's how Jesus was, his name was pronounced in his time. Actually, in Galilee, where he grew up with a Galilean accent, it might have been Yeshua. And now it's Yeshua, and of course in English we say Jesus. In French, they say Jésus. In Spanish, it's spelled the same, but it's pronounced Jesus. And of course, in his own language, it was Yeshua. Okay, what are some of the things Jesus taught people?
Sacrifice.
To sacrifice, okay, sure.
Yeah.
What was it?
To care. Care for others.
Oh, to care for others.
Yeah.
Turn the other cheek.
Turn the other cheek, that's right.
To share.
To share. Alright. Okay. One of the things he said, one time he was asked, what am I supposed to do, you know, to live a really good life? And he says, well, it was a lawyer who asked him, and said, what am I supposed to do? And Jesus says, well, what does the law say? He said, well, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And then the lawyer said, but who is my neighbor? And instead of just, you know, telling him quickly, Jesus told him a story. And I'd like us to act it out. All right, we'll give it a try.
Okay.
Why don't you be the man? Okay. And you start walking from here to there. Okay. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and left him half dead. Okay, you guys off to beat him.
Oh. Oh, no.
Okay. And then, but leave him half dead over here. Now, by chance, okay, you guys can sit down, except for Rosa, because she's going to be the priest. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when she saw him, she passed by on the other side. So get away from him, just kind of walk around that way. Okay. And Janet, why don't you be the Levite? It's kind of a junior priest. And so likewise, a Levite, when he or she, in this case, came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan. Do you want to be the Samaritan?
Yeah.
Okay. But a Samaritan, as he or she journeyed, came to where he was, and when she saw him, she had compassion, and she went and brought him to an inn, and you're going to be the innkeeper, all right? And she gave two silver coins to the innkeeper. You have to give her real money. You know. And she said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come back, I'll repay you. Oh, okay, there she got some money. Put it in the collection plate later, though, all right? Okay. And then Jesus said, which of these three do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the lawyer said, the one who had mercy. And Jesus said, go and do the same. All right, you can have a seat. Thank you. As you hear that message, so Jesus told the story. What do you think the story was saying? You know, what was Jesus trying to get the point across as?
Be compassionate.
Be compassionate, sure.
Right.
Take care of each other. All right.
Don't judge.
Don't judge. Okay, well, see, that's where this story gets interesting. Part of the story is of course, if you see someone who's hurt, you should help them. But the other part is the priest and the Levite being a junior priest, walked by and didn't help. Now, do you think that they were just terrible people for doing that? It kind of seems bad, but a priest in still today, if you're Jewish, if your last name is Cohen, which is the Hebrew name for priest, that means you're descended from the priestly line, and there are certain responsibilities and privileges that go if you're, you know, a very observant Jewish person. And one is you should never touch a dead body or be near it. You can make if it's someone in your family, it's different, but otherwise you can't touch a dead body. So when the priest was coming by and passed by on the other side, it wasn't necessarily that he was just thoughtless, but he thought, I'm a priest and I'm on my way to Jerusalem to the temple, and you know, I'm not supposed to be near a dead body. And so his religion, in a way, interfered with him being a good person. And Jesus is saying, you know, if your religion tells you not to care about other people, you've made a mistake. He didn't do it on purpose, but he thought, remember the story says he was left half dead, so he would have thought he was dead. The Levite, which is a junior priest, also came by, and again, his rule is he wouldn't have to avoid a dead body, but if he was on his way to Jerusalem to do duties in the temple, at least at that time, he couldn't be near a dead body. So he would have probably thought the same thing. And incidentally, even in Israel today, I remember driving over, we were riding over a bridge over a cemetery, and there's a sign that says alternate route from Cohen's, so that if you're a Cohen and you're very observant, you don't have to drive over the cemetery. You can drive, you know, off to the side, so you don't actually pass through it. There's also a kind of a Jewish expression. You know how we say, how did a nice person like you end up in a place like this?
Yeah.
Well, their expression is, what's a Cohen doing in the cemetery? So it's kind of the same idea. Incidentally, any of you Star Trek fans? You ever liked? Okay. Do you recognize this? Right, not everyone can do it. This is a priestly blessing. When Leonard Nimoy, who played Spock, was visiting a synagogue, he saw a Cohen, that is someone whose last name is Cohen, give the priestly blessing to the congregation, and he thought that's kind of cool, and he just put that into the Star Trek story, so more people know it as live long and prosper, but it's actually a Jewish blessing.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Little known and less cared about facts. okay, the other thing that's kind of interesting in the story is that as Jesus told it, you have the priest goes by, the Levite goes by, and people would have been expecting just a common, ordinary Jew to be walking by him next, because generally in Jewish society, priests were the highest, Levites were second highest, and ordinary Jews would be third. And Samaritans would have nothing to do with it because they were considered a heretic religion. So when Jesus was telling the story, he says the priest goes by and the Levite goes by, everyone would have been waiting for him to say, and then an ordinary Jew came by. And instead, he picked a Samaritan. And it's hard for us to understand, but it'd be like him counting, going 1, 2, 4. And it would have surprised everybody. In fact, it probably surprised the lawyer so much. That's why when Jesus said, who was the one, who was the neighbor, he couldn't bring himself to say the Samaritan. So he said, well, the one who showed mercy. So that was the difficulty at the time. So it seems to me, if we take the story into today, we've got help people be compassionate. That was the first meaning. One is don't judge everybody. Even people you don't like may turn out to do good things. So for us, it wouldn't be a Samaritan, but it might be, if you're a Democrat, it might be the good Republican. Or if you're a Republican, it might be the good Democrat. Or if you're conservative, it might be the good ACLU member. And if you're liberal, it might be the good NRA member. So whatever the group is that you feel can never do any good, Jesus is saying, look at that person again. Maybe they do good things. And if you really think about that, that might be a good thing. Now, actually, I remember there was a book called The Teachings of Chairman Jesus, and it was kind of a takeoff on the teachings of Chairman Mao, but they did the teachings of Chairman Jesus, and in the story, they told it as the good homosexual, because at that time, a lot of Christians thought gay people were bad. For us, that wouldn't be a problem, but we might still have our own groups. Anyway. Here we have this is my puppet that I keep at home most of the year, but he asked me if he could come to church on Easter. Easter is one of his favorite holidays, and his name is Jack because he's a jackrabbit. He's jackrabbit. Another word for jackrabbit would be hare, H-A-R-E, all right? But I just call him Jack. Tony, I know everything concerning Easter. I know more than you do. I don't know, Jack. I know, you don't know Jack. That's what I want to tell you. Okay, tell me what you know about Easter. This may be interesting. Easter is when we celebrate a great Jewish rabbit who taught us how to love one another. Jewish rabbit, don't you mean rabbi? Tony, I'm telling the story. Okay. He was a Jewish rabbit, and he loved cheese, all kinds of cheese. That's why we called him Jesus. They called him Jesus? That's right, Tony. He liked lettuce, too. Well, lettuce makes sense. Most rabbits like lettuce. Yes, and he always said, let us pray. Okay, Jack, what did this Jewish rabbit teach? He told a lot of stories. One was about a hare who was hopping down I-43 on the shoulder.
Really?
I wouldn't lie to you. This hare was walking along the shoulder of I-43 when suddenly thieves came by and hit her and took all of her money and knocked her down and left her there.
Oh, that's really sad. Yeah, did anyone come to help?
Not at first. One hare did come down.
So we left her there. And then another hare came by, and the same way, and she said, this hare doesn't vote the way I do, so I don't think I'll help.
Well, the third hare must have helped, right?
Not exactly, Tony. It wasn't a hare. It was a squirrel. Squirrel with a weird name. He felt sorry for her and brought her to a veterinarian and said, do what you can, dog. She's having a bad hair day. And the doctor picked her up and sent her home.
Well, that's very interesting, Jack. It sounds like a story that a human being named Jesus told.
Yes, well, he heard it from us.
Okay, Jack, now you said this squirrel had a weird name. What was it?
His first name was Sam, and his last name was Tan.
So they called him Sam Tan?
Well, his middle name was Harry, so we called him the good Sam Harry Tan.
Sam Harry Tan? We call him the good Samaritan.
That's close enough.
Okay, Jack, I appreciate that, but tell me, whatever happened to this Jewish rabbit that you call Jesus?
No one really knows, Tony. Some say he died a long time ago. Others say he's still living.
What do you think, Jack?
Well, we're still talking about him, so I guess he's still there in a way.
So do I, Jack. Oh, Jack has asked if you would help light the candles for the joys and sorrows. So if you wouldn't mind going on up and doing that. And also, we have some eggs. Eggs represent new life. So for every joy, we'll not only light a candle, but take an egg and put it in the basket, which will be here when I'm not seated. And also for every sorrow, we'll put an egg in the basket because, you know, sometimes new life comes even though we're sad. By sharing our sorrow, we get new life from that support. And sometimes we even learn from our mistakes. So the egg will work for joys and sorrows. So you want to kind of come on up and we'll do joys and sorrows. And as they're doing that, we'll have a few moments of silence, then we'll ring the gong, and then anyone who would like to, just come on up and share a joy or sorrow that you have. Let's ponder the meanings of our lives. Spirit of life and renewal, we have wintered enough, mourned enough, felt depressed enough. Our souls are too long cold and buried, our dreams all be forgotten, our hopes unheard. In this, the season of rebirth, help us awaken to the beauty around us and lead us to see and consider those who have fallen by the wayside and not pass up or pass by. We will find our hearts again and our good spirits. We will love and believe and give and wonder and feel again the flow of life, moving onward through one faithful spring and another, may we be grateful. Hallelujah. Blessed be.
Thank you.
UCN's program Share the Plate gives half of our offertory to a nonprofit charitable organization that shares our UU beliefs, especially our concern for justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Our Share the Plate recipient through April is WRTP Big Step, a collaboration created in the 1990s to increase training and employability in the building trades for women and people of color. Big Step is a nonprofit that provides tutoring and academic skills to prepare participants for apprenticeship exams that are the first career step in most trades. WRTP stands for the Wisconsin Regional Training Partnership that partners with labor unions and contractors in a pre-employment training certification program. UCN's Social Justice Committee member, Lee Hoftheiser, nominated this organization after learning that no participants are turned away when they ask for help, including those who were formerly incarcerated. Whatever their past experiences and backgrounds, all participants who commit to the program, meet its goals, and become eligible for paid apprenticeships are supported through the 3 to 5 year period to earn a journey person status and start a career with a family supporting wage. This training program has become a national model because of its success in creating a more diverse and qualified workforce in the building and industry trades. Half of cash offerings today will go to WRTP Big Step, the industry training program in Milwaukee. If you prefer to write a check, please write Share the Plate on the memo line and half your check will be donated. On our website, ucnorth.org, you can donate using PayPal. The Northliner newsletter also contains a QR code to scan to make a donation. Thank you for your generosity. Ushers, please come forward.
I've heard this occasionally from other people too. They like our
acceptance of everyone and our work in the community and our teachings about all the world's religions and the stands we take for social justice, but there's just not enough God and Jesus for their taste. Some of them come for a while but end up leaving for the Congregationalists or United Church of Christ, maybe Unity, Church of Religious Science, Quakers, etc. Now, it's not that we don't have any God or Jesus here, of course. Most Sundays I do offer a prayer, although I usually address it to the Spirit of Life so it can be interpreted as God or simply as the power of love. And most Sundays I offer scripture readings from one or more of the world's religions, including from the Bible, of course. But compared to most other churches, where all the scriptures are from the Bible, and there are far more prayers and hymns to God, there certainly may not be enough God and Jesus for a lot of folks. And if you happen to be a Christian who wants to hear your faith confirmed more often and more specifically, this may not be the right place for you. If, on the other hand, you're a Christian who likes to be with folks who don't always agree with you in theology, but who share in your common values, you know, of affirming the worth and dignity of every person, working for justice, equity, and compassion, the values of acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in your own unique way, and the goal of world community and respect for the interdependent web of all existence. If you're that kind of Christian, you may find this an ideal place to nurture your Christian faith. I think of someone I know who's told me he's very comfortable going to his wife's church, which is Presbyterian, but he prefers the Unitarian Church because although he personally believes in God and Jesus, he wants to be part of a church where that's not a requirement. Just like I remember meeting someone who wanted to know what our stand was on gay people, and I thought, well, maybe she's gay. She said, no, but my son is, you know, and I wanted to be part of a place that would never reject him. So anyway, this person I was talking about, he wants to be in a church, but in a church where not everyone thinks the same. Okay, but what if you're not Christian? And what if you don't believe in God, but you still share in those common values I mentioned, you know, inherent worth and dignity, justice, peace, love? Well, if you only want to fellowship with people who don't believe in God and are not Christian, then we're probably not the right community for you, because we do include more than that. But if you want to be with people who share those values, while perhaps disagreeing in theology, we may be an ideal place to nurture your humanist faith. Incidentally, sometimes I meet people who think that because you don't have to be a Christian in our church, then you don't get to be. Or because you don't have to believe in God, then you don't get to believe in God. Completely wrong. That's a misunderstanding of our union principles, which encourage each of us in our own search for truth and meaning. Which means one person's journey may lead them on a Christian path, another person's on a Jewish path, or still another on a Buddhist or pagan or humanist path, maybe even a combination of those. The point is, we will always have too much God and Jesus for some people, and too little God and Jesus for others. That's just the way it is, and the way it has to be in a church like this. But remember, whether there's more God and Jesus than you would like, or less than you would like, or whether you like the music but hate the readings, or love the sermon but detest the meet and greet, or enjoy the message for all ages but can't stand joys and sorrows, remember that someone else here is probably getting a lot of joy out of the very thing that turns you off. So rejoice when you feel annoyed. It probably means that someone else here is getting what they need. Which brings me to why I'm talking to you on Easter Sunday about this. As you know, Unitarian Universalist congregations throughout North America don't all do Easter the same way. Some may be talking more about Eostre, the Teutonic goddess of the dawn, after whom Easter is named, which we did ourselves 4 weeks ago with our spring equinox service. They may be talking about Easter eggs, which go back to the ancient Egyptians and Persians who venerated them as symbols of the spring, or rabbits, symbols of fertility, or all the ancient cultures that celebrated a god who died and was resurrected in the spring. Still other congregations, Unitarian Universalist ones, especially in some of our New England congregations that are more Christian focused, they are talking more about Jesus' resurrection or the promise of eternal life. And of course, there's everything in between. But as for myself, I've always stayed to somewhat middle ground. Knowing that some of our members are Christians, I think it would be weird to only talk about eggs and rabbits and ancient deities that die in the winter and rise in the spring. Easter without Jesus mentioned at all would be odd, I think, at least in a church that includes Christians. On the other hand, since I've always had a hard time taking the resurrection story literally, I haven't preached much about whether Jesus really rose from the dead or not, which I think is an interesting question, but not the most important one. So I have usually preached about Jesus' ethical teachings, to love your neighbor as yourself, including your enemies, who are sometimes the same people, to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, shelter the homeless, to help those who have fallen on the side of the road, and not beat up, as the robbers did, or pass up, as the priest and Levite did, but lift up, as the Samaritan did. To forgive when you can, to walk the extra mile, to bind up the broken and the wounded, knowing that when you do these things, any of them, you are doing something precious. You are giving to the Most High. This is what I really think needs to be resurrected from the dead. So this is what I usually preach on Easter. And I do it, hopefully not so much for your benefit as for mine. I need to hear Jesus' message. You see, my problem with some forms of Christianity is that they seem more interested in worshiping Jesus than in following him. And too often we hear preachers telling their followers, Jesus did it all, so we wouldn't have to. Or that the ideals he preached weren't for us to follow, they were just meant to be reminders of how far we are from what we should be, and we can never bridge the gap, so only God can. I think some Christians have set Jesus' teachings aside so they can raise him up instead. And they raise him up so high that he becomes only a god to them instead of a brother. Someone too great for us to follow. So we just sit back and reverence him, confident that he will save us because we don't have the strength or courage to try to save ourselves and our world. So let me say this. I don't know if Jesus rose from the dead. A lot of biblical scholars have questioned that because of inconsistencies in the gospel narratives, including my Catholic professors when I was studying in a Catholic seminary. And if Jesus did rise from the dead, I don't think that would make his teachings true any more than proving that he didn't rise from the dead would make his teachings false. And I will admit to you in all honesty that I don't agree with everything Jesus taught. And even of the things he said that I agree with, I can't possibly fulfill them all. Still, his vision of a world where the hungry are fed, the naked are clothed, the sick and imprisoned are visited, and the poor are lifted up, and his dream of a love so wide and so radical that it goes the extra mile and turns the other cheek and embraces even enemies, doing good to those who persecute us instead of returning an eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth or a life for a life. That stirs me. That takes me from the comfort of peace to the challenge of unrest, in search of a love that has no limit and no end. And to me, that's the resurrection and the life. Join now in hymn number 270 in your gray hymnal, O Day of Light and Gladness. Please rise as you are able. Thank you. this service of Easter is over, your Eastering has begun again. Peace and rest.